Are you ready?
Hey, think you can tell us what to do? You think you can tell us what to wear? You think that you're better? Well, you better get ready. Bow to the masters.
Grapple Talk.
Degenerate into something.
What's up, ladies and gents? My name is Nick Ragnar. AC Riley figuring out his headphones.
I think I got it.
It's Grapple Talk, man.
It's Grapple Talk.
Break it down.
Now I have
brought some
mic.
Cut it out before we break copyright issues. What's up, guys? I'm Nick Ragnar, joined by my esteemed colleague AC Riley for Grapple Talk this week, and man, last night was kind of a fiasco.
Yeah, it was a fiasco, to say the least, and it's definitely one of those things where it's making me realize that maybe we should have done it before we went out for St. Patrick's Day instead of doing this the day after.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, man, last night was fun, but this morning was definitely not fun.
Yeah, like I was telling you, I mean, like, I usually start off my day with watching some Looney Tunes cartoons.
Yeah.
I could not do that because, like, you know, all the loud noises, as you would expect from Looney Tunes. I was like, I have to turn this off. This is, like, really not well for my hangover.
Usually I start my day doing something, and I literally couldn't do anything. So.
Well, let's not worry about hangovers anything like that. And let's move around to Grapple Talk, and let's get our mind off.
I don't want to think about it.
About the aftermath of St. Paddy's Day.
Oh, nice.
So starting things off as we usually do, good sir. What's coming up on this upcoming weekend?
Well, we got a couple shows that we're going to spotlight here for this upcoming weekend. We have GLCW presenting hashtag shenanigans, benefit for Endo March Endometriosis. GLCW will be returning to Milwaukee on Friday, March the 21st. That's this Friday. To Turner Hall for hashtag shenanigans. Great Lakes Championship Wrestling is it what it's, you know, what it stands for. Bell times at 7:30. Meet and greets actually start at 5:30 p.m. The show is to benefit a cure for endometriosis. And, you know, there's going to be some really huge names there. The Outsiders, Kevin Nash and Scott Hall. Well, they will not be appearing at hashtag shenanigans. But if you would like a refund, please contact blizzardbrawl@gmail.com. Nash has a WWE commitment, and, well, Hall was never made aware of this. And, yeah, so that's that. But there is a special meet and greet with Buff Bagwell, Abyss, Al Snow, Scotty Tuhati, and Armando Estrada. So, I mean, that sounds pretty, that's pretty good, right?
I mean, it's still pretty good considering, you know, yeah, it would be nice to have Kevin Nash, Scott Hall there, but it sounds like the show is going to be pretty top-notch, and GLCW usually delivers. So.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you know, it sucks not being able to see Kevin Nash and Scott Hall, but you got the other names on there that, you know, Buff Bagwell, as I said, Abyss, Al Snow, Scotty Tuhati, and Armando Estrada. So, I mean, that's something that you'd want to make sure you check out. Plus, their main event's going to be a steel cage match, man. And it's going to be Al Snow taking on Armando Estrada. Then we also have Abyss taking on Jay Bradley. And then former NWO member Buff Bagwell taking on Scotty Tuhati. And then we have Silas Young taking on Xavier Mustafa, a guy we haven't seen for quite some time. But man, that is just a loaded card, and that's not even all the matches, man.
See, the part I'm looking forward to, though, is the fact that Abyss is on that show, and I feel like Abyss doesn't really hang out in the Midwest scene too much, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
I mean, granted, you got Al Snow and Armando Estrada, who usually hang out in the Midwest area. I think they're actually GLCW regulars. I mean, obviously, yeah. Al Snow is because he's the GLCW champ. But, I mean, yeah, it's definitely something new to the Midwest scene, and I enjoy it. Another show happening on Friday is WPW, also featuring a big name, Jake the Snake Roberts, who is going to be inducted in this year's Hall of Fame.
Whoa.
Tickets are $15, and all ages are welcome. Doors open at 7 p.m. For That's Unleashed. That's the name of the show, by the way.
I like it.
It's the favorite mailman of Fond du Lac, Ripped Ryan Summers. Which makes me wonder, can you imagine that dude like delivering like a package to you?
Why?
Like, I got some mail for you. And I was like, oh my God.
Like, oh my God,
so
I don't
sorry.
Like to deliver mail.
At least that's the guy that's like, sorry, I missed you. It's like, huh, what the fuck?
Is he really a mailman?
I think he apparently is a mailman. And he's gonna be delivering some beatdowns.
Oh, nice. Great.
We also got Rough Rider Rashawn in the house, WPW heavyweight champion. Bronson Bay will be in action, as well as Jesse Von Rudin's favorite wrestler of all time, Joey Jet Avalon.
Uh-huh.
Got gorgeous Jordy Lee coming on, Ian 12 Gauger, and this week's spotlight in the Swerco guest, The Stash, Peter Swans.
Oh, now it's just The Stash?
I don't know. We're going to have to ask him. Is it Porn Stash? Is it big? Is it The Stash? Or is it the big Porn Stash? I don't know.
I don't know either.
Anyways, moving along. It's card subject to change as it usually is. It's sponsored by Anytime Fitness, Attitude Sports, and Phillies on 4th in Fond du Lac.
Those are good sponsors, man.
Yeah, and I mean, this is exciting because not only are we going to go check it out, but on that day is actually my 6-year anniversary, as well as yours and Jesse's and Ryan Brown's. And
we're doing production, yeah.
Yeah, so it's going to be a fun time to celebrate the 6-year anniversary.
Yeah, I'm excited for it. And, you know, the great thing about it is that now we're going to have a show to talk about. So, I mean, that's great for next weekend. I mean, this week we got First Wrestling, which we'll get to in a sec. But anyways, also happening Saturday, March the 22nd, we got Strong Style Wrestling's Heroes and Legends 3. Now, this is a really stacked card, too. I mean, there's two shows happening this weekend, pretty much back-to-back, that are just stacked card-wise. This one's going to be in Clarion Fort Wayne Fun Dome. That's 3330 Colosseum Boulevard.
Colosseum.
God, what the heck did I just... Why did I even say it like that? It's too many threes. It's throwing me off. 3330 Colosseum Boulevard, Fort Wayne, Indiana. 46808 is the zip code there if you use Google Maps. I have to reference that every time. Doors open at 2 p.m. Fan Fest is from 2 to 7, and bell time's at 7:30. WWE Hall of Famer Bobby the Brain Heenan will be there. Al Snow with Head. You know, you have to make sure that you mention Head because
of course.
Head is a
part of the package deal.
Exactly.
Man.
Scotty Tuhati, Fred Ottman. We got Bushwhacker Luke. WWE Hall of Famer Nikolai Volkoff will be there. Marty Jannetty is going to be there. WWE Hall of Famer George the Animal Steel. Armando Estrada will be here as well. Men on a Mission. Buff Bagwell. Virgil. Trevor Murdoch. And all your favorite HLW superstars. Man,
you totally forgot to add that the Shockmaster will be there.
The Shockmaster? Oh my gosh, I just saw that. The Shockmaster. Oh, hopefully he works the Shockmaster
gimmick.
Send
for the man.
Come on.
I mean, yeah, this show is looking just absolutely jam-packed. I mean, like, looking at some of the matches on the main card, it's like an indie guy versus a name. Much the entire card.
I mean, yeah, Al Snow looking to be a two, hold two independent heavyweight championships because Heroes and Legends champion Drew Skills, we taking him on for that title. We have Jake Omen and Scotty Young taking on Zach Gowan and Gregory Iron, who, you know, that's pretty cool, man. Handicap Heroes working together to try to take those Hero and Legend Tag Team Championships. Bobby Steele taking on Nikolai Volkoff. Roderick Steak taking on Luke, Bushwhacker Luke. Scotty Juhadi taking on Karn Alexander. This card is just jam-packed. Ellie McFly taking on Marty Jannetty. Buff Bagwell will be in action, taking on Troy Miller. Bobby the Brain Heenan will be making that special appearance. So that's Strong Style Wrestling's Heroes and Legends the 3rd, Saturday, March 22nd in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Now, it looks like, too, a lot of those names are just going to be, like, hanging out here in the area because, I mean, yeah, this show is in Indiana, and Great Lakes is obviously not in Indiana. It's over in Wisconsin. So that must mean that they're grabbing some hotels, and they're going to be making some really good business for the Midwest.
Yeah, that's pretty exciting, man. But you know what else was exciting?
What else was exciting?
We went to First Wrestling, dude.
First Wrestling was pretty exciting, man.
First Wrestling was really exciting. What was your opinion on the show last Friday?
I'm not going to lie. Like, I haven't been to First, as we talked about, you know, since back in training time. So, like, almost pretty much 6 years ago. So, for me, you know, going to see that show, it was kind of like going to, like, a reunion almost. Just, like, seeing something that I haven't seen in a while and seeing that First definitely has not lost a beat. And it's also cool, too, because, I mean, we don't really cover a whole lot of Minnesota wrestling, and that was kind of the opinion for us for Minnesota. It was either BCW or it was First. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, nothing against the guys in Wisconsin, but we kind of see them on a usual basis.
Yep.
So we was like, you know what? Let's give somebody else a chance. And we can't really be a Midwest wrestling podcast if we're not talking about than Wisconsin. So
yeah, I mean, and the talent there, it, like, me and Jesse Von Ruden talked about it, and when we met up with a guy from Indie Power Rankings.
Oh, that was
Indie Wrestling
Power
Rankings.
Crazy.
Yeah, that was cool, man. But like, when you actually like talked about it and, you know, figured out the differences between what we saw and the what we see on a regular basis in Wisconsin, it seems like these weren't necessarily more about entertainment value, because when we go to a lot of these Wisconsin shows, a lot of the matches are based off storytelling,
yeah.
Storytelling, stuff like that. And then when we went over to First, it was all about just I mean, we saw a cat and a dog wrestle each other, man. Like, that's the kind of stuff that they do at First
Wrestling.
Well,
I think the important thing to remember, too, about First is that it was definitely a show, like you said, about the entertainment, because you had burlesque there, you had, live bands and everything. So it was definitely catering to not only the wrestling fans, because it was a wrestling show, but at the same time, it was also catering to the people that maybe just wanted to go check out some rock and roll and get some wrestling in on the side. And that's the important thing to remember, too, is that because First doesn't run on a monthly basis anymore, there's really no point in making storylines because, you know, unless somebody is like a diehard First fan and will remember everything that happened 365 mm-hmm. days ago, mm-hmm. there's no point in storylines. So you might as well just make every match just amazing.
Yeah, and I mean, we got to see, like you said, we got to see burlesque, we got to see live music, Blood and Stuff and Lipstick Homicide tore up the stage. Never heard of them beforehand, but they were like a punk band, I guess. Lipstick Homicide was, and Blood and Stuff was kind of this instrumental band that just, you know, rocked it out on just one guitarist and one drummer. So like, that was really cool, man. It was just like, I talked with Jesse about it, and he actually made a really good point. And instead of being a wrestling show, it was more like just one big event. Like, you know, that's what you felt like you went
that.
To. Yeah, yeah,
I agree.
Sorry, I was definitely not paying attention to anything you were saying. But anyways, there were some awesome matches too, and one match in particular that I thought was really good. Horse the Psychopath taking on Arya Daivari, man. Like, that was...
Yeah, that was
a killer
epic match,
man.
I mean, especially talking about the fact that Arya Daivari, ended the match. You know, he does the signature move called the... what is it? The Magic Carpet Ride?
Yeah.
And you need to talk to the mic if you're going to be talking. Otherwise, nobody's going to be able to hear you.
I'm trying to watch this.
So basically what he does, it's basically a frog splash with, you know, a carpet, so it makes it look like he's flying on a carpet ride. But the thing is that they end up pulling a ladder out in the middle of the match, and then he used the ladder, you know, it's a standard, you know, ladder for utility stuff. So what is it, like 15 foot high?
Yeah,
would you say?
Tall ladder, man.
Yeah. And he basically jumped the distance of the ladder down on Horace, and that obviously ended the match. That would end the match for me as well. And that was an open challenge match, and that was one hell of an open challenge.
Yeah, really, man. I mean, it's just, yeah.
Are you going to repeat what I just said again?
No, but I didn't know what to think about Daivari when he came out. I mean, I've seen Horace, I think, once or twice before. I've seen Daivari one other time, I think. And, they put on... Man, they had me on the edge of my seat, or I guess, like, figuratively, because we weren't sitting down, but, like, they literally had... Like, I was...
My mind was blown.
Yeah, it was. Because you didn't know who was going to win the match, man. It like went back and forth like six times. Like Horace did something, and you're like, well, that's it. And then, you know, I mean, that was Daivari's actually second time hitting that. Wait, did he hit it the first time? I don't even remember if he hit the first
time. No, he hit it the first time.
Yeah, so, I mean, that was his second time hitting it. So, I mean, it's like he takes two magic carpet rides to put away Horace the Psychopath. I mean, just a great matchup, I thought. I got to see, you know, the North Star Express once again, Ryan Cruz and Darren Corbin just...
They had a six-man tag with one half of Zero Gravity, CJ Esperanza.
Yep.
You keep forgetting that, and I have to keep reminding you about that. And then that they were facing off against 6% Fat, Rob James, and then Rennie D, and also Ryan Brubacher. And, I mean, I've never seen Ryan before. I've seen Rennie and Rob, you know, plenty of times.
Yeah, me too.
And, yeah, he was definitely impressive. Those
yeah,
guys,
I know,
those
right?
guys are definitely impressive as a team. They couldn't get the win at the end of the day, but I mean, man, that match was just making my head explode. You know,
yeah, there were
granted,
a lot of...
I was like a little bit tipsy afterwards, but I was, just, but I mean, at the same time, I was like freaking out because I mean, you would see a lot of things. Like, there's a video online of Rennie D doing the whole Tajiri bounce off the ropes,
yeah,
and while he's bouncing back, you know, to hit, you know, Corbin with an elbow. Here's Corbin just drop kicking him in the back.
Oh yeah, that was a cool. That was a really cool spot.
And that was just mind blowing. Yeah. I was like, how the heck did he pull that off?
Yeah,
and, I mean, just... and you even have Corbin just like, you know, he poked, tapped his head. It's like, oh, I'm smarter than him.
Yeah, and it was a really good entertaining match because I mean, all these guys know what they're doing in the ring. And not only were all the moves and whatever you have it really crisp, but the way that they were interacting with the fans, just how they were, you know, communicating with the fans at First Avenue, like it was just, it was cool, man. And I really enjoy watching those guys because they definitely know what they're both doing inside of the ring and outside of the ring to keep everybody involved and excited. You know, one thing, another match I really want to talk about too, Wildcat taking on Yellow Dog in the first matchup of the night.
That was like, I seriously was watching that match. I was like, yeah, I don't really care about the rest of the card. Granted, I still did, but I was like, this is the best match of all time. I was Snapchatting away on that.
It was a really fun match. It You know, when I first saw Wildcat come out, I thought it was just going to be a regular match. I didn't know that he actually had a cat persona. And then all of a sudden, you know, Yellow Dog comes out and he has like a toy in his mouth. And I was like, what the hell is going on?
Playing with yarn and
like literally
fetch.
For the first like 15 minutes of the show was just like playing fetch and playing with yarn. And it was hilarious.
Well, unfortunately, it ended up getting broken up by the Misfits.
Yep.
Aaron Corbin is on that team. I can't remember.
John Johnson.
John Johnson. There we go. I forgot about that last time. So yeah, Misfits ended up breaking up the fight. And then they actually came out to break up the main event. The main event was already over. But then they were clearing house, and then all of a sudden came Yellow Dog and Wildcat teaming up, and made for a definite epilogue main event.
Yeah. I mean, yeah.
Main event because it technically wasn't the main event, but it was after the main event.
Yeah, it was like a full circle in the show because, you know, I think a lot of the fans got behind Yellow Dog and Wildcat in the beginning because they were like, well, this is awesome. Your cat is wrestling a dog, and they're like taking on the personas of these pets. So, like, you know, that was really cool. And then you have these two guys in kilts coming out and breaking up, you know, the brawl. And, you know,
we're used to guys in kilts.
Yeah, we
just
are
interrupting
guys.
The party.
Yeah, we are. And they break up that matchup, and everybody hates these guys because they're like, hey, man, you just broke apart a really entertaining thing. And then, you know, at the end of the night, the Misfits come out to break up the main event, which, you know, got everybody at the edge of their seat as well. I mean, Pete Huge and Eric Cannon tore it down. And then you have Yellow Dog and Wildcat coming out there to save the day. And, I mean, it's just like, you know, I don't know if the place was as loud as it was when they came out. Like, I mean, I think that was like a pinnacle of the show. Is like, I think so many fans got behind that, and then that's what's, you know, First Wrestling did a really good job of, is like building these guys up to the point where they become like a main attraction on the card, and they're a dog and a cat, like wrestling. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah, just, yeah, definitely.
It was awesome. I mean, then we also had King of Throwdown, Venom taking on.
The unknown officer. We're just gonna call him the unknown officer.
We couldn't find his name, and we asked around. I asked a couple people sitting around. I was like, "Hey, do you guys know what that guy's name was?" They're like, "No."
And I was like, "Well, basically, reason that we weren't able to get his name was because he did the typical, you know, bad guy officer. Hey, we're gonna shut this down because everybody's getting all drunk and rowdy. You know, everybody go home, and everybody's like booing. All of a sudden, Venom comes out." I mean, we knew Venom just from prior experience of seeing Venom around.
Yep.
So it was great to see Venom again because, I mean, the last time I saw him was Pro Wrestling Battleground, you know, again, about 6 years ago. Mm-hmm. So it was definitely like kind of that reunion kind of aspect. Granted, I didn't really go out and say hey to them because they probably wouldn't remember the hell I was.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I knew Venom from just prior experience. Didn't know the officer, but, I mean, to his credit, him and Venom put on a great match. It's just kind of a shame that we can't really give him a whole lot of credit because we don't really remember what his name is.
Yeah, I mean, but it was another great matchup. Another great match that actually set up the crowd. I think a lot of these matches were really good at getting the crowd hyped, but maintained that crisp and, you know, just great work inside the ring with, you know, all the different moves. But yeah, what did you think about the burlesque? And that's the first time I've ever seen a burlesque show before, and it was different.
It was different. I mean, granted, like here in La Crosse, burlesque is a whole different thing where you have guys and drag and everything like that. So that's what I kind of figured burlesque was. So when I'll admit is that half of the question I was having when I was watching the burlesque, I was like, are these dudes in drag or what's going on here? But definitely weren't dudes.
Yeah, those were not dudes, man.
They were not dudes at all. But it's definitely one of those reasons why it was an 18-plus show. But I still saw, you know, people with their kids. So I really hope that they weren't trying to lodge complaints or whatever like that. It's like, well, technically it was set as an 18-plus show.
That was.
Especially at First Ave when it serves alcohol everywhere. And, like, it's just like how Howie's was back when they had the entertainment room segregated from just the restaurant area.
Yep.
Is that you couldn't go in there if you weren't 21 because it had the bar and you couldn't be doing that.
Yep. And, you know, really quick, I'm going to plug this. If you go to their Facebook page, facebook.com/first, that's F with the number one, RST.
I don't think they have the link on that because if it says pages, then it probably, yeah, because, yeah.
Oh, really? Okay, well, then
so all you got to do
to Facebook, search in the search bar, first, capital F, the number one, RST Wrestling. Head over to their Facebook page, and actually there's a couple of things on here you can look at. We got Arya Daivari's Magic Carpet Ride from the Ladder on there. We got a review made by the Twin Cities Daily Planet on there. And, yeah, they got some pictures on there too, so that's pretty cool. So you can kind of at least get to see what was happening at the show And you get to see that magic carpet ride. That was pretty epic, man. So, yeah, head
over to, epic.
Yeah, find their Facebook page, First Wrestling. That's F with a one. I got to make sure I can't stress that enough. RST. And, yeah, check it out.
And one thing, too, that we should probably clarify is that we were really excited about the show. Don't get us wrong. Like,
no, yeah, we were, like, if you saw us there, we I don't know if this is a term I can use, but we were marking out. Like, we don't get to go to shows a lot and not, I mean, enjoy ourselves. So, I mean, we had a couple drinks, and, yeah, we tried to enjoy ourselves to the max, man. We were sitting there, we were cheering on, you know, some of the wrestlers, we were heckling. You know, we were doing everything that every time we have a guy come on here for the spotlight in the squared circle and we're like, you know, what is awesome about independent wrestling? We pretty much did all of that,
yeah.
You know, on Friday, because we were trying to just be wrestling fans opposed to being, you know, a wrestler and a backstage reporter, production guy, or,
it was,
you know,
nice,
host
just
of Grapple
bottom
Talk.
Line, it was nice to go to a show where you weren't working on it. You could just sit there, pay for a ticket, get a beer or two or five, and just hang out and watch some really great wrestling. And that's why I want to just, like, make that clear, is that, you know, we sound kind of monotone right now, but a lot of that is just because we're still kind of hungover from St. Patrick's Day.
Can you say that?
But I mean, make no mistake though, is that we were super pumped to check out the show, and I really hope that we make the trek down to the Twin Cities again.
Yeah, I would kill to see First Wrestling. I don't want to wait a whole year for another First.
I think
show.
It was epic. Just to, like, I want to add this too, is that, like, they said how many people paid. They had like 596 people in there, which is awesome. Just because, like, we really don't see a whole lot of those numbers, like, to the shows we go to.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of that is just, like, the size of the venue. Like, I mean, for example, Game On Sports Bar is, like, you know, only a small piece of what First is,
yeah,
for the venue space. So it's nothing on SWE for having, like, not ever having 600 people, but it's just, you know, it's just a different anticipation, because it's one thing to have a full packed in a small bar. And it's another thing to have a big bar packed in, you know, a big crowd.
Yeah, don't get us wrong. I mean, if you 596 was it, is a pretty large number. And even though it didn't break the thousands, based on how, you know, big First is,
felt like First, it broke thousands.
Yeah, it did. First was packed full, man. Like, there was nowhere to really sit or stand. I mean, people were fluttering onto, you know, right outside the ring. I mean, the place was just packed. And like you just, and I don't know if you just mentioned this or not, but, you know, that 596 is just how many people have paid for tickets. So, I mean, we know a lot of shows have wrestlers or sponsors, all that stuff that tickets are comped for. So, you know, that means the number could have been well over 600, possibly reaching 700. If you think about all the, you know, the people that probably comped. But, you know, it looks like we're getting a call here, AC Riley, so we should probably cut to break.
Probably should do that.
That's our review of First Wrestling. Stay tuned. We're going to get Porn Stash on the horn. You're listening to Grapple Talk on RAQ Radio.
You're listening to Grapple Talk here on RAQ Radio.
RAQ, LaCrosse's student and community-run station.
Grapple Talk, RAQ, what's going on? AC here with Nick Regner.
Hi.
Hi.
I'm here.
Anyways, moving right along, we got our guest for the Spotlight and Squared Circle. It is Peter Swans, and how are you doing today, sir?
I am doing fantastic. How are you guys doing?
We're doing pretty good. Well, I mean, like, relatively speaking, I mean, we're not, like, you know, gushing blood like AC Riley was, like, 3 weeks, or, you know, was that, like, 2 months ago, but, yeah.
That wasn't even, like, a month ago.
I don't know what's going on.
17
days
ago.
I'm a little hungover today still, man.
A little?
Yeah, my stuff's all mixed up.
Whoops.
First thing I want to ask you, though, Peter Schwanz, is lately we've seen a lot of nickname shifts. You're the Big Peter Schwanz, then you're Porn Stash Peter Schwanz, and now we just read that you're the Stash Peter Schwanz. What's going on with all the nicknames, man?
Well, the Stash really, it's for more family-oriented shows.
Ah.
The Porn Stash doesn't fit well if I'm in a Catholic school, so to say. So,
probably not.
But really, the big came in when I started working again for SWE. I really had it with the fans there, to be perfectly honest.
Yeah.
And there's really not a lot of competition there. So I'm just going to throw my weight around, and I have a big match coming up here in April in the Tournament of the Night of the Champions. And I'm 100% confident that I'm going to be world champion there, and then I'll show them what a real champion looks like.
So is it only a matter of time before we start seeing on the cards that scheduled to appear the Big Porn Stash Peter Swans?
Yeah, that's actually not a bad idea. I'll have to keep that one in mind. I don't like the name changes a lot. I like to stick with one thing, but I think it was time for a change after 4 years of being Porn Stash and also being at SWA Porn Stash as Porn Stash. I thought it was time for something a little bit different, so I'll keep that one in mind.
All right, well, I'm happy to help. And you know, one thing that we like to ask when our guests come on there, Peter, is you know, just for the people that may have not heard who you are, what? Especially like the guys, like, you know, for example, Minnesota. I'm not really sure how far your resume spans.
Nationally,
as far, I mean, you could be heard out in outer space for all I know, but I don't know that as of right now. But just give a little introduction to the people that may have not heard of who the big Porn Stash Peter Swans is.
Well, I've been doing this for a little over 4 years now. I had my real introduction up in Escanaba for UPW. That was my first big shot. And then I came here a little bit locally in the Green Bay area where I live. For NWA Wisconsin at the time, which is now known as Wisconsin Professional Wrestling, and had my main training with Matt Winchester, a.k.a. Dinty Moore. Hopefully I get to be nationally sometime, but as of right now, it's just been the Midwest, not so much Minnesota, but mainly Wisconsin, Upper Michigan, a little bit into Iowa and a little bit into Illinois, and a little bit also over in Connecticut as well. I have a friend out there, and hopefully when the time is right and our schedules match up, I can go over there. So, I mean, there's really not much to me. I mean, I like to dance. I like to fist pump. I got a big mustache on my face, got a big mustache on my hoo-hoo region. So not really too much to say about me.
Well, I mean, you've definitely been blowing up the Wisconsin area for as long as that we've been doing this. Is that I think, you know, because every week we always do a preview of what's going to be coming up for the upcoming shows. And like I think just about every show, and this is episode, what, 18?
Yeah.
You know, in the 18 episodes, I'm pretty sure your name has popped up at least once in the time that we do 3-4 shows for upcoming for the week and next. And there's always Porn Stash, there's Big, there's The Stash. It ends up being at least one time for an upcoming show, so you're definitely getting your name out there in this area.
Yeah, you guys are really too kind. But I mean, it's been a great run so far. I was a little worried a couple years ago. I originally debuted as a tag team, Two Dudes, One Stash, with a good friend of mine, Ripped Robbie Patterson at that time, and he went off to do bigger and better things. He actually recently got married, so congrats to him if he does end up listening. But I was a little worried at that time trying to get myself out there as kind of it was almost a rocker situation with Sean and Marty when they kind of broke up. So I was a little worried at that time, but it all ended up working out for the best, and I really wouldn't have it any other way.
Yeah, well, you want to talk about everything working out for the best. Obviously, it worked out really well for the Wisconsin independent wrestling scene that you actually started wrestling. And if we take a step back, what exactly got you, you know, wanting to step in the ring instead of just being a fan?
Well, it started really young. I was about, I'd say about 2 or 3 years old, and I don't have very much recollection of those early years, but I remember one time I was sitting, kind of laying on the couch with my father at the time, and his favorite wrestler was The Undertaker. And I had just woken up from a nap, and I remember him having wrestling on the TV, and I'm just kind of watching it, and I'm seeing him come down the entrance with the smoke and the creepy look that the guy has. And I really started to watch wrestling more and more after that. You know, we're looking at the early 90s, so you have your Hogan, your Warrior, your Undertaker, and the list goes on. And it started probably in my early teens. I had a friend of mine that he really liked wrestling. He wanted to do something for family and friends. We ended up building a ring from scratch, which really wasn't the best idea, hindsight. But we did that, kind of did shows for friends and family. And when the time was right, I went off and got trained and started doing it. So it's always been a dream of mine, and I'm very blessed to do what I do. On a weekend basis, it's it's just one of those things. I look back and it's like, is this something I'm really doing? Because I watched it as a little kid. So it's really cool.
No, definitely. And I think your dad and I might get along just fine, because one of the reasons that I actually got into wrestling was I remember seeing Kane come out when he was interrupting the Hell in a Cell match with Taker and Michaels. And I remember just seeing that whole illusion when he came out. I was like, this is amazing. And that's really what hooked me on it. And I still can't explain it, but it's one of those things. You just have to go with the flow. You know, you like we were talking about earlier, is that you've been around the Wisconsin scene, you know, over in Escanaba and everything like that. And it seems like you and a usual crew over in your area always riding together. So is there like an interesting road trip you've ever had, that's something that you'll just like just remember for a while?
Well, honestly, the crew that I ride with, there's never a dull moment. So picking out one story is really tough because they're all ridiculously crazy.
They seem pretty crazy when you guys are talking about it at the show.
Yeah, and I mean, not a lot of us, you know, sit out at the after parties and drink until we're blue in the face. I mean, most of this is true, genuine fun. I specifically remember one time where we were at the Quick Trip in Germantown, and this really isn't wrestling related, but it's really funny. Seth Gambino, I believe he was on one of your recent shows.
Yep. Just last week, actually.
We're standing in line for the bathroom at that Quick Trip, and the attendant is hand signals for her son, sign language, because he was deaf. So Seth didn't know that, and goes up to her and says, "Well, what are you trying to say?" And she points to her son, and he's like, "Well, what are you, deaf or something?" And she looks at him, and she's like, "Actually, he is." And then he comes over by me. He's like, "Boy, do I feel like a jackass." So it's just funny stuff like that. We take everything with a grain of salt. Everything's hilarious to us, and I guess narrowing it down to one thing is really tough. It's a blast. I mean, I look forward to it. Every single day that I'm at work, I'm thinking about what's this weekend going to bring, because it's an awesome time.
Yeah, you know, that's a really great point. A lot of times when we're talking with a lot of the wrestlers, we always talk about the road trip aspect, because, you know, and not even just the road trip, but, you know, everything that happens backstage, because when we're not talking about just wrestling in particular, it seems like there's a lot more than just the in-the-ring stuff that keeps a lot of people wanting to come back for more. In fact, we had, I think it was maybe Scott Williams that came on one of our first episodes, and he told us, he's like, "Hey, man, like, I love wrestling and everything, but I don't think if it was for the guys in the back that I'd want to do this." And, you know, we found that really interesting, because obviously there's a connection that reaches, you know, farther than outside of the ring, that, you know, keeps a lot of you guys wanting to come back for more.
Exactly. I mean, there's some guys in the business that will say that, okay, if I were to retire tomorrow, like, these guys wouldn't talk to me on a regular basis. It would be every now and again, maybe happen to see them at the grocery store or something like that, that they'll talk to me. But I can honestly say that I have got so many friends in the business that if I were to hang up my boots tomorrow, excuse me, that I would be able to call them, or they would call me at least on a weekly basis to chit-chat about wrestling, about life, about pursuit of happiness, a whole nine yards, and I would still be best friends with them for the rest of my life. So it's really that bond that keeps me coming back as an addition to the actual wrestling aspect.
Well, you talk about a bond, is that Seth Gambino actually mentioned this, is that it really seems like, as he pointed out, that the wrestling community is definitely a brotherhood, like a fraternity. And that's something that I can definitely agree with, because, I mean, coming from a guy that actually is in a fraternity, I actually feel more of a bond with my wrestling brothers instead of the more of the fraternity brothers.
Oh, you went there.
Which is interesting to think about, because I see them kind of less than I actually see my fraternity. But I definitely feel more of a bond there, because it's more of a mutual thing that we all strive towards.
Yeah.
You're not in one of those weird fraternities where you have to, like, when you get in, you have to, like, sit there naked and they, like, give you 20 lashings or something like that. It's not one of those weird ones, is it?
No, but I wish, though.
You wish.
But, no, you hit it right on the head. I mean, it's guys like Seth I've been friends with him for many, many years. Guys like Nathan Gust, I mean, I hate the guy at times, but I love the guy at the same time. And no matter how much I hate him, at the end of the day, once we get past our little disagreement, I'm still going to be friends with the guy. Like, for an example, I'm not too happy with some of the words he's been saying about me in SWE and his little article that Larry Hansen writes. I'm gonna super kick his kid, and I'm just gonna go ahead and do that. But once we're done with that, we're still gonna be friends.
That's awesome. That's awesome to hear. And speaking of SWE, it seems like you've kind of brought on this new personality. Where you're not the happiest guy around. We used to see you coming out fist pumping, doing the whole hip thrusts, if you want to say that. Now you have a little bit of a different demeanor. And I guess just talking about that in general, is there like a particular, really like a famous professional wrestler that you kind of model your persona after, because it's a lot different than a lot of the other guys that we see coming out to the ring.
I mean, initially when I first broke in, I wanted to have sort of a similar gimmick to Val Venus.
Ooh.
Val Venus, I really liked a lot of his vignettes that he did. And just the overall presentation that he had, obviously being the whole porn star and so on and so forth. But then there's also the attitude of Stone Cold, which is tied for number one on my list with Undertaker as being one of my favorite wrestlers of all time. And just the simple aspect of I can do what I want, when I want, and there's nothing you're going to be able to do to stop me, and that aspect of it is very entertaining, and I like to incorporate a little bit of both, just to, if I need to do something to get what I want and maybe people aren't going to agree with it, well, that's tough cookies. They're going to have to deal with it because I need to do what I need to do to get ahead in this business. So,
you know, and one thing I want to ask you here, good sir, is that, you know, you've been around for 4 years now, and the question I have is, what keeps you around? Because, I mean, granted, you mentioned that when you broke up with the Two Dudes, One Stash tag team, you weren't really sure how long you're going to stick around. But obviously, things worked out well for you. But what keeps you around?
It's the more and more challenges that I get. Recently, I just finished, I would say, probably a good 4 or 5 match program with ROH's Silas Young. Yeah. And that gentleman pushed me to every limit that I had, both mentally and physically. And that specifically recently has kind of rejuvenated my competitiveness amongst the other workers and wrestlers in Wisconsin and other areas. And, of course, I do have aspirations on doing bigger and better things, doing things outside of the region, such as East Coast, West Coast. Hopefully getting the look for ROH or WWE. I mean, some of those, maybe WWE is a little bit of a long shot since I am a shorter guy and starting to build a little muscle, but it's that everlasting, I can do better, I can do better, there's more that I can do that really keeps me going.
Well, you know, talking about Ring of Honor, at least, I mean, what better way to try to get your foot in the door than doing a program with a guy that's in Ring of Honor?
Yeah, exactly. And I had a lot of good conversations with Tommaso Ciampa as well. Hopefully I said that right. But definitely having those two around, being able to talk to Tommaso and really pick his brain about different things and being able to then work Silas. I think I got about 5 or 6 matches under my belt with him. It's amazing. I mean, the guy's awesome. Very nice guy, but when he's in the ring, it's all business, and he's going to do whatever it takes to win, and really, really makes me think outside the box, how can I beat this guy? And that's exactly what happened. I ended up defending my Heritage Championship in Bruce City and ended up beating him in a last man standing match, and I probably slept for a good 10-12 hours the next day. So that was awesome, though. Very fun time.
You know, we're actually running out of time here. I mean, we have a couple minutes left, but I kind of want to go to the lighter side a little bit. I want to know, because when we first started seeing you down in in where the hell was that, like Hartford or whatever?
Hartford,
you know, yeah,
yep.
Hartford at the Ruby Garden. You modeled the biker shorts, and now we see you wearing trunks. And I've always wanted to know, because I don't see a lot of guys that swip swap. You know, what's the difference between, you know, this gear, the kind of gear you wear, kind of help you out in the ring? Does that make a difference at all, or is it all just based on look?
It does. I did start off with the shorts. Shorts are nice, but if I'm going to be a porn star / stripper / dancer, I need less clothes on.
Pretty much.
That was really the biggest reason for the change, and I saw my maneuverability go up drastically. Just being able to move around, I have very educated feet, and I like to use them. So it's just one of those things, having less clothes on, less in the way, and definitely shows off my package for the ladies a little bit more. So, can't complain there.
Well, I guess you just have to make sure that you don't end up getting in some sort of a feud with an Asian mafia, because then that package might not be there. Oh, Val Venus reference.
I see what you did there.
I was trying to make it general, and it kind of worked out. Well, Porn Stash, we want to make sure everybody knows that they can follow you on Twitter, PornStash2012. That's at PornStash2012, so they can keep up with the latest details on the big Porn Stash, Peter Schwanz. And we want to thank you for coming on today, man.
Not a problem. Thank you, guys. I really appreciate it.
You betcha. And last question.
Oh, we have another question.
We have another question.
I guess we
always do this,
out.
And he totally forgets about it.
Well, I thought I just wrapped it up. It was like a great wrap up, and then all of a sudden now you're stopping me. Or
I'm totally stopping the all momentum, right. Because I have a good question. Anyways, so the question we usually ask our guests on the Spotlight and Squared Circle before we wrap things up officially is if you were walking up to somebody on the street, they weren't a wrestling fan of any kind. And you were trying to convince them to go to a show, and they ask you, why should I go to the show? What would you tell them?
I would tell them it's nothing like you've ever seen before. You can go to a baseball game, and you can see home runs, but there's a lot of downtime, and you're just going to be sitting there eating peanuts the entire time. You can go to a wrestling show. You can have nonstop action. You can have guys beating the crap out of each other, and ladies, that's good for you because they're going to be half naked anyway. But if you're a gentleman, there's also women there that are half naked. They're going to be beating the crap out of each other, and there's not going to be one point where you're not going to be on the edge of your seat, clapping, cheering, booing, whatever it is. You're going to get your money's worth at a wrestling show.
Well, that's very well put there, Mr. Swans. And with that, we're going to do the official wrap-up. So, again, thank you for me and Nick for coming up here on the Spotlight and Square Circle.
Not a problem. Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
Porn Stash Peter Schwanz on our Spotlight in the Squared Circle. We're going to take a quick wrap up, I guess. I got that on the brain now. I can't stop saying it.
Whoops.
No, we're going to be right back with Wrestler's Perspective right after this.
You're listening to Grapple Talk on RAQ Radio with Nick Ragner and AC Riley. Be sure to tune in every Monday from 4 to 5 and every Friday from 6 to 7. You can also listen to every episode on iTunes. Just search Grapple Talk.
RAQ, La Crosse's student and community-run station.
Grapple Talk on RAQ. What's going on, guys? Just had an amazing sit-down interview with the big Porn Stash, Peter Schwanz. Very happy with that. But we're moving on to one of our critically acclaimed segments. It's a
World-renowned.
It's Wrestler's Perspective for this week. So, AC Riley, I got your question in my back pocket. And here we go. So, well, I'm gonna let that ride for a sec. Just give me a sec. All right, here's your question, right? So we talked to Peter Schwanz about the whole name change thing. He's known as the Big Peter Schwanz. He's known as Porn Stash Peter Schwanz. He's known now as the Stash Peter Schwanz.
The Big
maybe
Porn Stash.
Maybe the Big Porn Stash, is we just kind of, you know, we coined that term. And, you know, and he's also just Peter Schwanz. So what I want to ask you, man, is that I know you started out as Alex O'Reilly, and then you turned a leaf, and then you're to Alex Riley. Which is, you know, you're stealing somebody else's name.
Still my own name.
And now you're AC Riley. So, like what's with the name, man?
Well,
what's with name changes? Like, why did you start as Alex O'Reilly and you shifted? Now you're AC Riley.
Here's the thing is that I did O'Reilly.
Hold on. Let it ride.
Okay, I guess this show is going to be longer than an hour then, apparently.
I love that.
Anyways, you know, I wanted to do O'Reilly when I started out because I wanted it to be kind of different. Like, you know, you have like a lot of people with like these crazy names, stuff like that. And I was kind of like, I kind of need something, a little bit of a flair.
Yeah.
And then I dropped the O because I was like, I really don't like hearing that when I come out to the ring.
You don't like it?
To the ring, Alex O'Reilly. And I'm like, oh boy, this is freaking stupid.
Oh, I like your pun. It was funny.
I did Alex Riley for a while, obviously. And then when, that's the one I hate the most, because Kevin Kiley, who changed his name to Alex Riley in FCW, everybody was blowing up my phone, my Facebook, my email. Oh, hey, did you hear about this guy changed his name to Alex Riley? Yes, I heard about it because I just heard about it 20 times just in this past hour.
Yeah.
And then after a while, I just kind of got sick of fighting it because, like, I was doing the original Alex Riley kind of thing. Like,
oh, yeah,
like,
I remember that. That was
like,
funny.
Haha, I got him and stuff like that. But I was like, he probably doesn't know who the hell I am. But to be fair, I was born with the name, and I started wrestling before he changed his name. So that's all I care about. And then, you know, then I did AC because somebody recommended me, saying, well, what's your middle name? And I told my middle name. And like, why don't you just do AC Riley? Because one of my middle names started with a C.
You have two middle names.
I have two middle names.
Yeah.
So it was just like AC. I was like, I like that. And yeah. Stuff like that. And of course, like, I was playing Call of Duty, so like, I was waiting for the AC 130s all the time.
Yeah,
so
right.
I was like, oh, AC. That,
I still think you should come out to AC 130, the song by Attack Attack.
I really kind of want to.
I think you should. It's a badass song, man.
I mean, now I just have to convince Jeremy or.
Oh yeah, that's right.
I just gotta convince my tag partners.
Yeah, the youth gone wild. Oh, I mean, that makes sense too, though. I mean, Skid Row. Nothing
yeah, but hey,
Skid Row.
To be fair, Dream Police—they don't even play Dream Police anymore with Cheap Trick. So
yeah, that is kind of sad, isn't it? What do they play? Do they come out to like Cops theme or something? I don't remember. Well, that was this week's Spotlight in the Squared Circle. I still think you should be Scott Money. I think that'd be funny.
Scott Money?
Scott Money, and like just come out with like, you know.
Scott Money and Rags to Riches.
Oh my gosh, that would be a horrible tag team. I don't think we'd ever get booked. Anyway, so let's go to.
No, that's what we have to do. We have to book ourselves as Nick Wagner, AC Riley, and then we just change our gear and then have the announcer like, hey, just call us this.
Just call us this. They're like, coming out to the ring is Scott Money and Rags to Riches. And everybody's like, who the hell are these guys?
Boo.
These guys have weird names. Well, anyways, we're running out of time, so we should probably take a look at the upcoming shows. Want to start us off there, Scott Money, with
GLCW. Can do that, Rags to Riches. GLCW, it's their hashtag shenanigans, a benefit for endometriosis. It's returning to Milwaukee on Friday, March 21st, at Turner Hall. The meet and greet will be at 5:30. Bell time is at 7:30. It's a benefit to finding a cure for endometriosis. Unfortunately, again, as we mentioned, the Outsiders will not be appearing. Nash has a WWE commitment, and Hall was never made aware. That was, you know, taking full responsibility from the promoter, and that's always a good thing to accept the responsibility. It's a very mature thing. Special meet and greet instead with Buff Bagwell, Abyss, Al Snow, Scotty Tuhati, and Armando Estrada, which means that, bottom line, that's still a great meet and greet.
Oh, yeah.
You got the GLCW champ, Al Snow, defending against Armando Alejandro Estrada. I wish I could roll my R's.
I can't roll my R's either.
Abyss will be facing off against Jay Bradley. Buff Bagwell going up against Scotty Tuhati, and Silas Young will be taking on Xavier Mustafa. You got two other matches that they haven't announced. Limited number of tickets are available at their website, blizzardbrawl.com, without the service charges. And that's GLCW's Shenanigans this Friday. What else is going on Friday?
Well, WPW is having a show, and they are featuring Jake the Snake Roberts. That is Friday, March the 21st. They're heading to the Shack in Fond du Lac for their event, Unleashed. Tickets are $15, and all ages are welcome. Doors open at 7 p.m. Fond du Lac's favorite mailman, Ripped Ryan Summers, will also be there. He'll be in action, too. I just want to know if he's a mailman or not.
I think he is.
Also in action, we'll be seeing Rough Rider Rashawn, the heavyweight champ, Bronson Bay, Joey Jet Avalon, Gorgeous, Jordy Lee, Ian 12 Gauger, and we're going to see, the Stash is going to be there. Peter Schwanz will also be there. Obviously, as any other show, the card is always subject to change. They're sponsored by Anytime Fitness, Attitude Sports, and Philly is on 4th in Fond du Lac. So make sure you head on down to Fond du Lac if you're not going to be heading on down to Milwaukee for WPW's Unleashed.
And then also this weekend, we got Strong Style Wrestling's Heroes and Legends Trace, Clarion Fort Wayne Fun Dome in Fort Wayne, Indiana. That's 3330 Coliseum Boulevard. Doors will be opening at 2 p.m. For the Fan Fest, 2 to 7, bell time at 7:30. At the Fan Fest, we'll see Bobby the Brain Heenan, Al Snow with Head, Scotty Juhadi, Fred Ottman,
That's Shockmaster, man.
Shockmaster will be there. Bushwhacker Luke, WB Hall of Famer Nikolai Volkoff, Marty Jannetty, George the Animal Steel, Armando Estrada, Buff Bagwell, Virgil, Trevor Murdoch, all your favorite HLW superstars.
So many.
It's a lot of people there. As we mentioned, the main card pretty much has a name and an indie guy. We got the Heroes and Legends Championship on the line as Drew Skills defends against Al Snow. And then you also have the tag team belts on the line, Jake Omen and Scotty Young against Zach Gowan and Gregory Iron with Steve Jonak, the Handicap Heroes. You also got Bobby Steele and Nikolai Volkoff, a special appearance by Bobby the Brain. And again, that's Strong Sellers Wrestling, Heroes and Legends 3. If you can make it down to Indiana and you want a jam-packed show, that's the place to be.
That is definitely the place to be. Well, thank you for joining us here today for Grapple Talk, our special edition. We're on actually Tuesday today, not Monday, which is kind of weird. Is it Tuesday today?
It is Tuesday.
Oh, my gosh.
Are you that hungover?
Yeah, I'm still hungover. Thanks for joining us for our hangover special where we can cure anything with some words of independent wrestling. For AC Riley and Nick Ragner, we will see you guys next week on Grapple Talk. Wow.
You're right there.
Just hiccuped a little bit. Yeah, we need to get out of here. So thanks for joining us. We'll see you next week. Stay classy, everybody. Hey, another show in the books, but next week we have another show.
That's right. We always got a show coming to you. It will be on Monday, 4 to 5, and Friday, 6 to 7. And this week, we're going to be having gorgeous Jordy Lee on.
Oh, man, that guy. You know what? He's been a huge supporter of ours, and we haven't had him on yet. So now we're trying to make
a huge supporter.
We're making it worth his while.
And now we're going to get him on finally.
We're going to finally get him on, and you can always make sure you can check us out both on podbean.com and on iTunes. What do you got to search for, man?
You just got to search Grapple Talk. You can also check us out on our social media. That's facebook.com/grappletalkRIQ. And you can also follow us on Twitter at RIQGrappleTalk.
Great preview. High five.